What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 14 of The Overview. I'm Chan MV, and I lied because I said that we were having technical issues and that we would get started, but it turns out that things miraculously happened in the matter of 45 seconds.
Beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. We got everybody here. Fish Sticks, Shade. How you guys doing?
Pretty good, man. Just recovering from DreamHack.
Yes.
It was awesome times. Three of us were there.
Yes.
We'll talk about it in a little bit, I'm sure.
Yes. Shade?
Good. A little bit sad that the beta's gone, but
yes,
we'll be back soon enough. At least we have a date this time. It's not like the first time where it was just like gone forever and we didn't know.
That's right. Literally just ended. So, but we got extra time. We got OT overtime because it was tied, and you know, an extra 2 hours is always nice. But want to welcome to the show for the first time, Rachel Seltzer, please, Querico. Those of you that have been watching esports for a while, she hosts everything and casts things and spokesperson for a lot of things. So welcome to the show, Rach.
Thanks, and the source of the technical difficulties due to time shortage. So apologies for that. I guess this is the first and last time you'll see me. So I guess I'll make the best of it today. Hey, guys.
No, it's all good. Definitely all good. Okay, so lots to talk about today. This, again, the open beta just ended. So we had a whole week of Overwatch, lots of things going on. So we'll touch on the comic book. Coca-Cola announced something for launch day. Some events, the end of the Overkill tournament, lots of cool things going on streaming wise too. And on top of that, we got a little bit of, you know, hacking drama and that sort of thing to talk about. So we'll touch on that at the very end. Any questions you guys have too, definitely tweet that to either one of us or myself, particularly at ChamMV or the value, not value, the Overview GG. And, I'll definitely read those out at the end of the show. Okay, so let's start off with talking about open beta. Just, you know, again, just finished. I kind of want to just get everybody's thoughts on what your experience was this last week playing the game. Fish Sticks, want to start?
Man, I didn't get to play enough because we were off to DreamHack on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I did get a chance to play at Rachel's tournament, but I would have played so much more if I was home. I just like watched HBO shows and the Warriors game and didn't even play last night. I'm some kind of like, where's my passion? It's dead. No, but seriously, the open beta has been very eye opening. A lot of people were looking to this to kind of to set the tone for the future of the game because obviously it's open. Everyone has a chance to get their hands on the game.
Right.
And from what I could tell, man, a lot of people were playing because basically across the board, content was getting more viewership. You know, just the hype is through record levels. The subreddit itself has grown like 50, 60, 70,000 subscribers since the game went into open beta. And like, that doesn't necessarily sound like a lot off the bat, but like the Overwatch subreddit is already becoming one of the biggest single gaming subreddits and was the fastest growing subreddit for a couple days there on the entire website of Reddit. So I don't know. Hype level is definitely over 9,000, and we're seeing that in a myriad of ways. So that's really the number one thing for me was just seeing kind of how excited the community was for this game and how little negativity there was. Honestly, it was almost all just awesome plays and discussing, you know, the mechanics and very little vitriol and negativity. A lot of people just excited to play, and that's reflected basically everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Shade, how about you? How was this week streaming and playing and all that good stuff?
It was pretty fun. It was nice to see like not super long queues in game because there was actually people playing and there wasn't like just 12 people the entire time. So that was awesome. And I kind of like that we didn't really have any like balance changes or patch notes or anything like that because it kind of gave, I guess, everyone a chance to just experience the game as it's been, I guess, for the last, 2 weeks? It's been like 2 weeks since we had a patch.
Yeah.
So that was kind of nice. And just to see all of the new people's thoughts on heroes and Bastion and Torbjorn.
Lots of Bastions. Like, every game.
It was really cool.
Yeah, exactly. Rach, how about you?
Yeah, I was going to say my experience has just been like Bastion memes everywhere. Because I like Ben, I was doing a DreamHack stuff. I wasn't really able to play. And so, you know, I've just been trying to secondhand enjoy the community. Wow. You know, I can't believe how, you know, lucky we are to have these new players figure stuff out that over the course of 6 months, these pro players, you know, never even thought to think of as problems with the game. And the fresh insight is really, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Rachel actually organized a few Overwatch events we'll talk about in a second when we talk about DreamHack. But yeah, so one thing that I could, at least personally for me, that was really great when playing with friends, and that's what I've been mostly doing in open beta, is just playing with friends that never had it before and just kind of socializing, I guess, playing Overwatch, is a couple things. So the Brawl was actually a really great Brawl to introduce the game to people, because the random heroes allowed for folks that have played the game to maybe get equaled out a little bit, just because they might be playing a character they're not very good at. So it was a little bit easier for them, I guess, to be introduced into a more level playing field, just new players and that sort of thing. So played a lot of that. And then also the competitive mode's gone, which is a very good thing. It was gone the way it was. I was very, very happy to see that it's not going to be launched. So I don't know. What do you guys think of that? Just, we didn't really talk about competitive being removed.
Yeah, I mean, most people wanted to see some kind of change to it. So, you know, Blizzard really pushed to get this out as quickly as they could so they could start testing it as quickly as they could. Mm-hmm. And they were upfront about this. You know, they didn't even think that they were going to have a competitive mode in before launch. They weren't sure. And they push it out mainly as a form of just getting it out there and starting to test things. Obviously, could use some more polish in some aspects. So I know for a fact that they've been very open about the fact that they're, you know, open to reviewing this and look into different ways of doing a competitive rule set. So I think they're going back to the drawing board, and I think everyone's pretty happy to see that for the most part.
Yes.
On a personal level, all I care about is good MMR matchmaking. I don't really care about the competitive. Right. I know I'm the aberration. I'm not like the norm, but like the MMR system is still pretty decent, it seems to me. Like, I still get pretty fun high MMR games with pros. It's working out for me. Like, I don't really mind. So
I did miss ranked a little bit, just because it's like the feeling of ranked queue isn't the same in just like regular quick match. So I don't know. It's, I kind of missed that part of it, but yeah, it wasn't a huge deal.
It's definitely more serious, right? I mean, the game level, the gameplay is definitely a lot higher in the competitive mode. And at the same time, a lot of people are a bit trolly, or they definitely get on their teammates too in the chat at the same time. But it was the one thing that I just didn't have fun doing, you know, in the game. So coming into open beta, I was just really happy that that wasn't, you know, there weren't any other folks like myself that was being presented that competitive mode. So anyways, makes me happy that they're, you know, definitely doing something, and then we'll re-release it a little bit later on. So there's not much negative things to talk about. I mean, that's like you said, Ben, like this whole week, it's been nothing but, you know, just great things being said, you know, just on their subreddit and everything, just talking about just general access and just the fun everybody's been having.
Yeah, also, yeah, seems that way.
Top streamers have picked it up too.
Yeah.
The Twitch category like exploded. I saw, you know, a lot of the top variety streamers were bringing their audiences in, and even my numbers, like, I am very modest. Let me be clear and upfront. But you know, when I was playing Overwatch and it was closed beta, they were half of what they are now. Just that everyone has access to it, and everyone can kind of understand better what's going on in my stream and other people's streams, having played it at least a little bit themselves.
Right.
It's, yeah, really, man, funny getting, I mean, matched up against some of the variety streamers too. Like, we got to play against Lyric a bunch, and apparently he was kind of mad. So,
oh yeah, he gets so mad. Oh my god,
that gets the viewers, baby, getting him mad.
Yeah, man. I work at Twitch, so I look at numbers all day, and
he does Overwatch. I'm literally watching him look at numbers every day.
Straight up. yeah, people see me at events. I'm just like hunched over my laptop, like refreshing stream numbers, but. No, Overwatch has been in the top five or even top four basically nonstop on Twitch. There was a point where Overwatch had like five times as many viewers as Counter-Strike. And obviously the hype's at record highs right now, because it is, the beta just came out and all the top variety streamers are playing it. But that was just super exciting to see for me. I do have one concern though. And it's the fact that almost nobody in the competitive scene is seeing a lot of success on stream, except for Siegel and the people that he like hosts and works with. Yeah, so it seems like it's very, very top heavy right now. Obviously, the variety streamers are getting it, but like even other really well-known good players are not really, they're not really streaming a lot. And when they do stream, they're not really getting a ton of viewership. So I think those guys really need to go to the drawing board and figure out how to build a successful stream, because that is just so incredibly important for your personal brand to grow like that. Well, I really hope people start taking it seriously.
If you remember Hearthstone, you know, like I remember the first month and a couple of months of Hearthstone, and basically Trump was Siegel, right? That's kind of analogous to that. And there was like only one person like getting a ton of views, and big old drop. There's a huge drop off between the top spot and like even the second spot. So it's just a matter of time. It's just more about people discovering other people. Don't get me wrong. Some of those other streams, you know, entertainment is definitely something to be focused on. But I think it's just a matter of time that more folks, you'll see more streamers, you'll see some of the views being dispersed a little bit more. But there's a reason why Siegel's the top. You know, he does a great job of playing and interacting, playing well and interacting and talking, explaining his play. So it's a good stream. Like, what can you say? But
no, it's totally true. I've just been surprised that there haven't been at least a couple of other people that are getting up into the 500,000 plus range, like on their own without hosts and front page and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I just haven't really seen it yet. But yeah, that's some good insight. Yeah, I don't actually, that makes a lot of sense. The Hearthstone analogy.
Yeah, so I guess Brandon got up, or Siegel got up to 13,000. Is that right? Something like that. That's crazy,
it was,
man.
Higher, I think. Wasn't he at 15 for a minute or 15? Two?
Oh wow. Okay, so 15,000.
We can check this.
Yes, Ben can check this. That's the beauty of it.
No, you can too. There's this website called Twinge.tv. It's amazing.
Twinge. Yeah, that's true. Lots of great tracking sites out there, actually, for folks that are interested. But
yeah, I mean, hype is all times high, but 14K is insane, man. Like, if this can carry over into the full launch of the game, like, this is one of the biggest individual streamers on Twitch. If you can continue that with that momentum, like, I knew it was going to be big, but I never would have thought that individual streamers would be getting 14K. So I'm just crossing my fingers, hoping that this carries forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where we've always, you know, we've been talking about this, and it's one of these things where we've all believed that, you know, once there's more people playing the game, that the viewers will come. And that's what's so great about this. Now that we're done with open beta, and we projected that open beta would be like 10x, I don't know, something like that, right? The number of users, and that should translate, you know, somewhat into viewers. And that's what we're seeing. So seeing all this stuff come to fruition is just even, I don't know, it's even more, I guess, validating from the standpoint that this game is going to be something huge. And, you know, with Siegel getting 13K, I remember Trump getting it, and then Crip was probably there too. Like, Crip and Trump are probably around the top. But Crip had it all from Diablo too, right? Trump was like totally Hearthstone. We saw Moz come really quickly after that, right? And we saw, you know, just some of the other big Forsen probably a little bit later. But all these guys I'm talking about in Hearthstone, they're all top Twitch streamers now. So I think we can probably expect at least one or two people in Overwatch, I think, to enter that room.
Yeah, I'm
too.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I noticed, I've become so obsessed with YouTube stats as well. Ever since, you know, I ran the Onog tournament, I've been obsessively daily checking the stats like all the time. And I'm a huge nerd, guys. But ever since day one of open beta, we're seeing it's like a hockey stick in viewership. Yep. on a match that took place over a month ago. The viewership is like just gone straight up. So it's like 10x higher than it ever was before on a per day, like, viewers. So that's just been sick to see too. And none of that's because it wasn't posted on Reddit, wasn't tweeted, wasn't promoted, wasn't embedded on any website. It's true. Just people searching for videos about competitive Overwatch. So that's been really cool.
And guess what, guys? 2 weeks of no Overwatch. Guess what people are going to be doing during that time? They're going to be scouring YouTube for a bunch of Overwatch content.
Crying.
So, crying too, but, you know, trying to at least you know, just amend some of those wounds. They're going to be looking on YouTube. So lots of Overwatch YouTube content makers are ready, and the subreddit highlights one, you know, like every month in that top right hand corner thing that they do on the subreddit. So definitely check that out. So Rach, in terms of like streaming and stuff, like, you know, in terms of becoming a popular streamer, you know, for a game like this, like, what do you think? What do you think people need to do?
I mean, well, I don't know if I'm the one to ask because I haven't cracked the code at all, but, you know, from the popular streamers I know, it's a lot of the basics. I mean, you have to be consistent. You have to, you know, be providing commentary. I think one of the most difficult things is, you know, talking while you're playing an FPS because you're so focused. And that's what's amazing about watching someone like Seagull stream. He is talking about things that are interesting, and he's teaching. A lot of people are kind of not going to be able to bring that level of energy to a long stream. So those people who can, you know, stream for a long time, stream consistently and be engaged that whole time are definitely going to rise to the top. I mean, we saw in Hearthstone, you know, a lot more people got to be a little more relaxed, but that's not the case here.
Yeah. Hearthstone, you know, you have a minute and a half to just do whatever you want, right? With your, yeah. If you can sit there talking to your stream for a good minute and then make your move, that's what's beautiful about that game in terms of stream interaction. But with Overwatch, it's a little bit more difficult. But at the same time, people have a lot more to watch, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben, you said you were looking around at a lot of the content. And one of the things that I thought was interesting, like, the more people played Overwatch and the more people, like, talked about it, I heard people, you know, rag on this here or that here a little bit, but I never heard anyone say, like, this game is broken, this game is crap, this game is not worth it. Like, I don't understand, you know, I don't think it's going that poorly. I think people are coming
it's
in and saying.
It's too good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well...
And I guess we should mention 18K viewers for the Overkill finals.
Yes, that's right. I was going to touch on that, too, which...
Yeah, it was a best of nine, so it went really, really long, which is obviously great for finals or for viewership. And the final score line, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, is 5-3. Cloud9 ended up beating
Cloud9
in a best of nine. Mm-hmm. But by the end, man, it was 18K viewers. I still haven't had time to watch the VODs. So I'm probably going to do it tonight at some point. I'm not really sure. But that's super sick, too, because as much as I hate to say it, that's only a hair less than what StarCraft got at DreamHack, man. And that's like a stadium production value. Yeah, I'm sorry. But it's still cool. It's crazy.
It absolutely is. And, you know, that was kind of the whole point of doing this tournament, right? At the end of beta, the king of the beta, right? Again, for those guys doing Overkill.gg tournament, it's definitely a job well done. I know they had like a lot of little technical issues they had to deal with that they didn't have control of, too, just early on some of the group stages. So it was great to have them, you know, just kind of have all those viewers at the end. And the new format, too, you know, best of nine, we haven't done that before. That's really cool that they're giving that a try. And I think it's good. It's really good to be able to have them play as many matches as possible or many games as possible to determine a winner.
I agree.
Okay, well, let's touch on some lighter things. You know, like there's some, I don't know if they're lighter. Some people actually take, like, really, really love the other media surrounding Overwatch. But another comic book came out, or at least one of these mini comic books that touches on the Roadhog and Junkrat story. You guys get a chance to take a look at that? Shade, you get a chance to look at it?
Yeah. I don't know. I like all the little extra things that Blizzard puts into the game. I guess not in the game, but for Overwatch in general, I think it's pretty cool. They kind of just seems like they have this draw note plan of everything that they want to incorporate. That's just also incredible marketing at the same time. It's really fun to like watch and read.
So yeah.
I'm really looking forward to another short coming out soon.
Yeah. Looks like there may be, there were supposed to be four total or three total?
Three?
I think.
Three? Okay, so three. I know there was definitely three, but I'm not sure they were going to
have another one. Was it four, including the Winston one that came out, too? The recall one that came out at the beginning?
Maybe that one's including. Okay, yeah, so we should get one more, though, which, I don't know, maybe launch day. I'm trying to figure out when that's going to be. Maybe it'll be next week, just to kind of like help us transition into launch. That'd be kind of nice. What'd you think of the story? Like, what'd you think of the comic book, like, compared to, I guess, the McCree one? Rachel?
I think it was so short that it relied a lot on like stereotypes and stuff like that, or not stereotypes, but like tropes kind of mm-hmm. like they think the two Junkrat Mad Max kind of guys, you know. But it's at the same time like really heartwarming for the same way. I don't know. Next to like the animated shorts, I just kind of can't get into the comics.
Yeah. Okay, I know what you mean.
They made Junkrat so kawaii though. Like
that's true.
He's always got this like look in his eyes. It's just I just like how they portrayed Junkrat mainly.
You like the art better in this one, right, Ben? Compared to the
I think it's more interesting. It's like more stylized and more colorful, I think.
Actually, let me show it. I had it like set up here to show this whole time. Yeah, they used Gray Shiko for this one, which it's definitely a different style, and it's kind of interesting they chose somebody differently. It looks like they're just trying out different artists, and maybe they'll continue with the same artist for their storylines. You know, that's another thing too. It just feels like there's so many characters, right? So like, when are they going to find it? Like, it looks like they're going down individual storylines for them. When are they going to all come together? Like, I kind of want to see Avengers, you know, like comic book, and then maybe go off into like the individuals. That would actually be kind of cool to see when it comes together. But yeah, check it out, guys. It's at comic.playoverwatch.com. And you can see this one. Looks like they're going to be coming out. I mean, the last one was like, what, 3 weeks ago or so? So they're coming out with these pretty quickly.
Yep.
Given they have different artists and writers, they're probably in parallel, which is kind of nice. So these will come out faster, I think, than the shorts. Okay, well, some other news is that Coca-Cola is going to be taking part in all of this Overwatch awesomeness, and they announced that they're doing a launch promotion that is that involves movie theaters around the nation. And what they're going to do is on launch day, they're going to have a 2-hour premiere, I believe it is. And it's like a combination of a lot of things. Don't know for sure because there's surprises that are going to be announced, but definitely the shorts will be involved. And some exclusive things. I don't know if exclusive means footage, you know, just the actual movie or even like maybe swag, but it could be all those things. I don't know. What have you guys heard about it?
You can buy tickets right now, right?
Yeah. So the way it works is that it's guaranteed to be in nine theaters, I believe, around the nation. And it's all about demand for the rest of the these theaters that are available with. So let me show you this website. It's tug.com/titles Overwatch. I'll link it in the chat too real quick. You can actually see if any theaters are available near, you know, the city that you live in. And if you can see the green, I believe the green ones are the ones that it's going to be available in during launch. And you'll see some that are kind of half filled. And the reason why they're half filled is that the theaters won't make them available unless 100 people are interested in it. So what that means is get your friends, and I'm going to be tweeting it too for Florida, because there's one in Fort Lauderdale that I definitely want to go to. I'm going to be like having everybody make sure that they buy tickets. So yeah, definitely. Yeah. If you see a T next to your city, tell your friends to like go to this site and express interest or reserve tickets, or I forget exactly how it works.
Yeah. So the one thing you got to point out here is that it's 120 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And we currently have like, I don't know, a combined like 25 minutes of shorts.
Right.
So let's do the
I'm
math.
Just like freaking out during the math.
90 plus minutes.
It's like dramatic reading of the comics or.
It's a long,
I mean, who
guys.
Knows what it's going to be? I don't know. If I had to guess though, there's going to be some exclusive content, guys.
Yes.
Like that would be my, I would bet money on that there's going to be some stuff that no one else will be able to watch, and you'll be the first people seeing it. So get out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two words, commemorative swag. I'm so down for this.
That's what I'm looking forward to. I wanted to get some kind of Winston. That's actually, Ben already has a bunch of stuff, man. I'm like jealous. That's not even fair, man. Rachel's got some stuff too. I got a backpack.
I bought mine on geareduplizard.com and jinx.com.
All those shirts. I was expecting those shirts to be available at DreamHack.
Rachel just got full sale today. She's like, you can buy tickets now, right?
And, look at this.
Blizzard.com,
oh
right?
My gosh.
Listen, I this is all the only way I have to vote is with my dollar, and so I do.
Nice. Like, oh, man. All right. Nice. Just making everybody jealous. Okay, yeah, so definitely check that out. What? Oh.
Oh my gosh, it fell right onto my Razer Overwatch mouse. It was almost
Gosh.
Just crushed that to the
Where's
side.
Where's that Razer blade, Ben, that you happen to be running your
show off of right now?
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah, that's in my closet right now. I need to go grab that.
Well, why don't we talk about Driehaunk, since we're kind of alluding to a lot of it. So Fishsticks and Rachel and I were at DreamHack, and it was the first DreamHack in America. It was in Austin. Obviously had a really good time hanging out with you guys, but in terms of Overwatch, lots of people playing Overwatch in the BYOC, and Rachel was one of the main people. Rachel and Trevor, actually, or Torch, were one of the main components of organizing tournaments and really just getting the competitive aspect of Overwatch going, just going at the event, and particularly at the Razer booth. You're obviously helping to sponsor this. So why don't you talk about that a little bit, Rachel, and how it went?
Sure. So actually, I was just trying to pull up the stats, and we ran four tournaments over the course of 3 days. We ran an invitational, which is what Ben and his team won on Friday. Then we ran two tournaments on Saturday, one on Sunday, and I think we had a total of 42 teams sign up, which makes us which is like 252 players, which makes us the most played like BYOC tournament for teams, for players. It was really cool. And I teamed up with Razer and NZXT. We got a bunch of prizes together, and we gave away four Blade laptops, I think like 18 sets of like the Razer mouse and keyboard and mouse mat and a bunch of computer towers. Wow. And like a whole bunch of swag from Blizzard. And it was just like, it was exactly how LANs were when I was going to LANs, like QuakeCons and Envision, stuff like that, where I just wanted to make sure like people would come to this event and would leave with like a ton of stuff. And we definitely, I think, achieved that.
Yeah. And like you said, you look around the BYOC, and I would say roughly 50% of people were playing Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially more. It might have been more. I mean, obviously, it's like their last chance to play with the open beta. So blah, blah, blah. But still, it was crazy. So many people were playing Overwatch. Just if you looked at the glowing monitors, it's just all over the place.
Well, and it was like word of mouth, too.
Yeah, it's totally. I mean, it was surprising how many people were. Six man teams there were. I actually played in it, but I was like a free agent. I played with like five other random people. But I think that the teams that there were a good number of teams, I think, that did pretty well. Of course, not against the Ringer team that like Ben was playing on with Oplad and V, but in Nerd Slayer. But the other teams, I mean, I was pretty impressed about how, you know, good some of the other players were that were at the VOC and just how serious they took it, you know, just watching them in the semis and the finals. It was cool watching them just all set up in the Razer booth and on comms and things like that. In fact, that one team, the one team that finished second to Ben, right? They ended up winning the third one, right, Rich? Or the fourth one.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Ad hoc, they were completely made up of like BYOC players that had met in the channel and like got together. And that was the team that it was a mercy play of the game for the final match.
Yes.
So
that
kid won the laptop, and his mom was there, and his like little 5-year-old brother were there, and the mom was crying, and the brother's jumping. I was like the coolest, like exactly how I wanted it to go. And it was so nice to like be able to give prizes to these people that, you know, I don't think ever get to compete in esports or compete in games, and they really got to feel like that fire to win.
Yeah, absolutely. Got a Razer Blade too. Shade, you should be proud. Mercy, play the game. And
I know, I smiled as soon as I heard it.
And for those of you who don't realize why the play of the game is so important, those prizes, like the Razer case, went to the play of the game. Basically, whoever's played the game in the very last game of the series in the semifinals won that Razer and NZXT case. And then in the finals, if you got the play of the game, it was the Razer Blade, so it was always really tense going into the final game. Everybody was like, okay, who's going to get it? And we kind of saw it all over the place, right? Razer got it. I mean, like, Mercy got it. Reinhardt got one. Genji got one, of course.
There's a Genji in there somewhere. No, when you announced that rule set of the play of the game is going to get the laptop, I had a vision of pulling out my Genji sword and getting that play of the game. Oh, and then it happened. So I know there's a lot of competitive people in chat right now. I am currently the one Overwatch player who has won the most in prize winnings ever because, all these other people too.
Actually, Ben,
I'm tied with four other people.
one of our other, I think a Reinhardt winner, he won the case.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
And the Chroma shit. Suite and the laptop. So he's beaten right now.
That's right.
Well, on Friday, or sorry, on Saturday, I was the winningest player for a short period of time. But the dream is dead.
And yeah, the other thing we did different about our tournament was we had a rule set that we didn't want to do stopwatch. So we awarded points, three for capture points and one for each checkpoint on the payload maps. And that allowed us to kind of, you know, have situations where, you know, one team would get three quarters of the way through a map and go up against a team who, you know, would only get halfway through the map. And we actually had a winner after that, which was really nice because we really needed to fit our tournament into like a 2-hour time frame for four teams to get to a winner. And I think it worked out perfect almost every time. We only went over once because of technical difficulties.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Hopefully we see more of those. Hopefully we see more BYOCs in America, you know, right?
Yes.
So kudos to DreamHack for doing just that whole event here in America. And obviously you get, you know, Rachel, you and Razer for sponsoring. We started seeing other booths start playing Overwatch after seeing the success of the Razer booth. So, you know.
Did you see that? You MSI know. Was like, oh, we're going to do Overwatch exactly. too, but they only had 5v5 PCs. So.
Right. Oh, no.
Yeah, I did see that.
That they were playing 5v5 Overwatch. It was cute. It was nice. They tried.
Right. Okay, why don't we're just moving along now. Esports. So we touched on the Overkill tournament. Shade, you watched most of it, right?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. So anything you noticed? I mean, this was like a one hero limit tournament, right? So we didn't see any repeats. Anything in the meta that you noticed that was kind of cool?
I don't think it was one hero limit.
Was it?
Yeah, definitely wasn't.
Oh, it was not.
Wasn't.
Sorry, I was thinking of something.
No,
I was thinking
of something.
I was just, yeah, exactly. I was thinking of hers. But I was watching some of the, I was like watching maybe like one or two of the matches, and I just didn't notice that there were doubles. So I don't know why. It was in my head.
Yeah, no, there was definitely doubles. There's multiple double Winston games.
Yeah, of course, right? Anything interesting develop in the last week or so?
I think it was pretty much the same as the week prior to that. There wasn't really anything new that kind of showed up, from what I could tell, or like unexpected. I don't think there was any moments where I was like, oh, that's weird.
Right.
Never seen that one before.
All I know is I was tuning in throughout Sunday on my phone, like for like a minute here, a minute there, and I saw a whole lot of double Winston from Cloud9, so it looks like they're still rocking that strategy pretty hardcore.
Yeah. Well, if it's working, then why change, right? I guess, is this a good sign then? A good sign then, I guess, that meta's stabilizing to a degree. We have, you know, at least a week and a half where it's the same.
I mean, do you want the same meta for a long period of time, though? And do you want that meta to be double Winston?
Well, yeah, I thought that's why we were selling the no hero limits idea, is that it wouldn't get stale.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's kind of what people's argument for using it is, right? Yeah, but Winston, so you guys think Winston's a problem still? I mean, obviously it's not fun to necessarily watch Winston, I guess, jumping around doing that sort of thing, but from the gameplay standpoint, you think it's a problem?
You know, one Winston alone isn't a problem. Two Winstons is a problem. It seems that way to me. Yeah, I think he just seems too strong. Obviously, I haven't had a chance to watch the Overkill matches yet, so I'm going to watch those and take notes for you guys later, for next time, I guess. But it's just not the most fun thing to watch or play. So, yeah, I think he needs some kind of tuning. His mobility is just ridiculous with how... Mm-hmm. Short the cooldown is on his leap, which it alone isn't a bad thing. Like, I'm all for hyper mobile characters, even if it's a tank, still cool in my book. But it's just frustrating to play against, especially the double Winston. Just something like, he just wins 1v1s basically almost in any case. I still do think that teams need to be creative with solutions. You know, we saw a couple weeks ago Bastion. I think Roadhog might be another one that people aren't using enough against Winston. That's just like my personal theory crafting. But yeah, it just kind of seems a little rough right now.
I don't mind spectating Winston as long as it's not an ulted Winston. Like, the screen's just like red and shaky. It's not fun to watch.
That's true. I mean, it's kind of crazy even just to play him when he's ulted, not to mention watching him. Rachel, what do you think of Winston? Like, do you watch a lot of esports or no?
I watch a lot of the tournaments, but like, Ben, I wasn't able to watch these past couple. The last two weekends are kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But I get kind of like cross-eyed when I see a lot of the same heroes on the screen. It's a little hard with the spectating still, tracking stuff. But I got to say, now that more people are playing, it's got to be a lot easier for more people to watch. I'm still hoping that they put in kind of like security camera spectator installations or something. Mm-hmm. Just for ease of progress down the map.
Yeah, I like the overhead view a lot.
Yeah.
I actually find Tracer harder to spectate than Winston, if anything.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too. Yeah,
definitely. She's just like going everywhere.
Yeah, from an overhead standpoint with Tracer, it's funny because like I was saying that I thought first person point of view for Tracer was kind of bad, you know, back when, you know, the double Tracer, double, you know, Winston's and everything was happening. But I think that overhead view you can't really appreciate Tracer very much. Just watching her just kind of blinking around from the overhead either. So I don't know what to do with Tracer actually. I don't know. What is it?
Remove her from the game.
What?
Tracer's fun.
She is like the iconic. She's like the iconic character of Overwatch.
Take Pikachu out of the game. She's the Pikachu.
Yeah, there's 0% chance I think Tracer gets taken out of the game. Maybe they change her drastically, but there's no way they take Tracer out of the game.
I don't even think she needs to be changed, really. I don't know. Anyway.
From a spectator standpoint, though, do you think there's anything...
I mean, she's just annoying, that's all.
Is what do you think is the best? What do you think is the best?
Like, I have no problem with that. Like, she's fun to watch.
Yeah. All right, cool.
I think the easiest is when you're just kind of like sitting on a Reinhardt shoulder or something, but I don't know how many opportunities you get like that. Or when Bastion's in turret mode and he's got a great view of the area, you're like, oh, thanks, you can do all the work for me. Spot him.
Right. I know what you mean. Yeah, so Spectator, there's going to be something there. It's going to be ongoing and working on. And you know, definitely, there was a lot of comments during this weekend too, just about Spectator. So I'm sure Blizzard's listening, and hopefully we'll see some of those soon. I still think as a community, as like just event organizers and things, that we can try to give some proof of concepts and things like that to, or just, you know, do it with our events, you know, what are regular events that we do. So it'd be kind of cool to try to brainstorm and you know, do something that's try something a little ambitious and see what happens, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we're trying something new in a couple of weeks here at the Esports Arena event.
Yeah. All right.
Trying a new rule set.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit, the Esports Arena event. I mean, it's a launch event, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the week after launch. It's happening in Santa Ana, California at the Esports Arena. It's called Agents Rising, and it's sponsored for $10,000, so it will be the biggest prize pool yet in competitive Overwatch. Dolby is sponsoring, so big shout outs to Dolby. They reached out to me right before I left for DreamHack, actually, so this all came together really quick to cast it. But I will be heading down to SoCal to cast with Joshy, and actually T-Squared from Halo is going to be there commentating as well. It's going to be an interesting little crew of people, but we're trying out a new rule set, which we've discussed on the show in the past, and I've actually advocated for, where each team will win a point for winning on attack, but then an additional point will be given to the team who gets the faster time. So if two teams win on attack, but team A has a faster time, their score would be 2-1. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, isn't that just the same as Stopwatch? You know, team A won. But it's not, because the other team, at least there's incentive for them to finish out the map and try to get the point. And I think that this rule set really starts to make sense with longer best of 5, best of 7, best of 9 sets. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it could be 2-1 one way, it could be 2-1 the other way, it could be 2-0, and then there you could have comebacks and different storylines there. And then imagine if you're tied at the end of these maps, then you go to just one final control point map. Right. And that would be like the hypest shit ever. So that's the story, or that's the rule set that we're going to be trying out in a couple of weeks. Again, that's May 28th and 29th on twitch.tv/esportsarena. I'm super hyped for it. Hope you guys are going to get or tune in and get excited. We haven't been able to talk about the teams yet. we're not going to actually be able to tease that for a little while longer, but I'm certainly crossing my fingers and hoping that we see North America's best teams all playing there. It's going to be pretty sweet.
We're going to see them all in the same place, which we haven't quite seen yet. I mean, there's been a LAN in France, and has there been anything else? There hasn't, right?
Not really.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's been the only thing. So this will be really cool, just seeing a lot of the good online teams that we've seen like to date with Overwatch in one place and live. That's going to be great. Esports Arena, for those of you aren't familiar with it, in Overwatch, is a great venue, LAN. It's like all kinds of things. A lot of events happen at esports events for various games in the LA area. Or where is it exactly? I forget. What city is Esports Arena again? It's
like Santa Ana, Costa Mesa, or
something like that. Yeah,
10 minutes from Anaheim, where the MLG events used to be.
Exactly. Go check that out, guys, if you're ever around that area, because we need more venues like Esports Arena around the U.S. And so, happy to hear that they're having some success, and keep at it for sure. Okay.
I'll see you guys.
I'm excited to see T Squared cast Overwatch.
T Squared, yes, that's gonna be
sweet. I've been friends with him for a really, really long time, and he's been pretty much into Halo and League of Legends. So Overwatch is gonna be a pretty big change for him. It's gonna be fun to see kind of what he does with it. So.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of
pretty excited for that.
We're seeing a lot of casters being interested in Overwatch just because they just personally like to play the game. So it's almost gonna be a casting gauntlet led by our man Fishsticks here, but it's gonna be cool to see in the coming months. And hosting too, Rachel here. So yeah. I can't hear you, Rachel. Can't hear you.
Rachel.
Still can't hear you. There we go.
No, I was just saying, I think, Overwatch is such like the maps are so global. The heroes are so global. I think the esports is going to be huge. I think we're going to need like so many people involved in this space, casting wise and hosting wise, to really cover everything that's going to happen. I really hope it gets really big, and I hope there's room for like everyone that's interested. So if you're interested, just keep at it and don't get intimidated by the number of people into it. Like, let's get everybody involved.
Yeah. Keep practicing, keep doing it. And, there should be lots of things going on for it, and lots of casting gigs and things like that. Okay. Let's talk about a little bit of team news too. So, the team that we used to know as My Dong has become Rogue now, which, that team seems to just continue to be unpredictable. I guess, what do you guys think of the team, the change in team name? Shade, you've got to love the change in team name. I mean, you've been harping on the My Dong name for a while now.
I mean, I just don't understand what their logo is.
Oh, that's true.
It looks like they pulled it out of an anime and just stuck it on their sweaters and everywhere. I don't even know what it is.
It's a brand new team. It's the first this is the announcement of this team. Basically, they didn't have any rosters up until this point.
Well, to break off from Enemy.
Yeah, it's one of the co-owners or founders of Enemy is starting a new team. Mm-hmm. And I'll be really frank, I was quite surprised to see this team go with Rogue, because I had never heard of Rogue. You know, Enemy, they've had some success in the past, but it's not like they were a big esports team. Mm-hmm. I was really expecting this My Dong team to get picked up by, TSM or something else, other really high tier esport organization, because they frankly have the ability to be one of the best teams in the scene. So no shade against Rogue. Who knows? I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but it was a big surprise to me. I didn't expect that they would go to a brand new team for sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a lot of funding behind them, so I'm assuming that probably had something to do with it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, this whole open beta thing, I think, is just providing even more analytics for other organizations too. So I think we're on the precipice of a lot of organizations coming into the space. And we still got some teams to be picked up. So, but I think there won't be enough of the teams that we've seen pre-beta to really fulfill, I think, a lot of the demand. So we're gonna have to see some more new teams is kind of what I'm trying to get at.
And we totally will, man.
I didn't say I didn't like the logo. I just said it's weird and I don't understand it. But yeah.
You said there's so many teams that are forming, so many events that are gonna be taking place as soon as this game comes out. Mm-hmm. The scene is gonna be moving at such a ridiculous pace. like the day that this game comes out. You know, I talked to some folks at DreamHack who are forming like a really promising North American squad, and I'd never even, I had no idea that these guys were playing together. So there's like a couple new teams emerging in NA. I'm sure EU probably same boat.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exciting. It's going to be very, very exciting to see it once May 24th comes around. This has already been awesome. It's only going to get better. Okay. All right. Let's get to this. We've got to talk about hacking. Obviously big news, or at least a lot of discussion going on in Overwatch, the subreddit particularly. And, you know, this has come up before. You know, hacking's come up actually multiple times. We've had multiple shows where we talked about hacking. But the latest, most recent news has come with some talk of Temu and then now Sure4, you know, just with more videos of Sure4 and things like that. So want to get your opinions on, I guess, just the latest, or maybe just collectively, just everything, you know, people are saying about these guys, and whether you think they're hacking. And then I guess after that, we'll just talk about just general hacking in Overwatch and again, kind of cover if it's a problem again. Ben, I know you have a lot to say, so let me kind of start off with some of the other. I'll start with Rachel. I'll just kind of like go down the line. So, Rach,
sure.
What do you think?
Hacking is wrong, guys. Don't do it. It makes me sad.
No, PSA for the day.
Like, I would love for them to, if they're going to do it now while Blizzard has all eyes on this game and is so focused. I mean, not that they're ever going to take their eyes off it, but, you know, break it now and let's get it fixed and get it out of the way, because I want, like, esports to take off, and I really don't want there to be any question of people's skills and stuff when it comes time to reward people for skills in, you know, a monetary esports way.
Okay, cool. Shade? Oh. Uh-oh. Oh, what happened?
Great quality insight.
Oh, there we go.
Yep. Yeah.
Are we good?
Shade?
Hacking's bad. Don't do it.
Okay.
And I don't think anybody that has been accused of it so far publicly is actually hacking. So.
Okay. All right. Ben?
Well, clearly, guys, hacking is a serious fucking issue that we need to take very, very seriously as a community, something that Blizzard needs to take very, very seriously. We should be as vigilant as we can, but you have to remember that it's not our job to burn the witch at the stake. I've seen this in so many different FPS games throughout my career, mm-hmm. where without solid proof, it's almost a pointless discussion. Yes, we should record the videos. We should analyze the videos. We should review them. If there is ever irrefutable evidence from too many sources and the 98% of the community agrees that someone is definitely hacking, then you can make those assumptions. But every video I've seen, none of them have seemed conclusive to me at all. And I think it's very irresponsible for the community. I mean, I shouldn't say irresponsible, because it's just like the masses come together and it's this sudden, this witch hunt and 3,500 upvotes on Reddit. Oh, he's a hacker for sure. He's a hacker for sure. Sure for whatever. Blah, blah, blah. It's just none of those videos convince me. Yeah, they look suspicious, but everybody's aim looks weird and different. And Chris Chanman, we were talking about this before, like Stephen Curry is hacking at basketball right now by the same laws. Like, the shit that Stephen Curry pulled last night should not be possible. The consistency that he does it should not be possible. He's probably the best player in NBA history, and he's breaking the game. Like, there is the ability, there's the chance that players are just that good on that type of level. So, look, like, I don't know. I can't. Yeah, some of the videos did look a little bit suspicious, but like, you can't take, oh, they look suspicious, and translate into that, oh yeah, he's hacking, we should ban him from, no, that is irresponsible. That can hurt people's careers, that can hurt their livelihoods.
A lot, yes.
So, like, come on, we have to look to Blizzard. Yes, be vigilant, look at the videos, observe people as much as you possibly can, but we can't jump to these conclusions without Blizzard. And another thing to keep in mind, guys, is there will be so many LAN events once this game comes out, mm-hmm. that hackers are not going to be an issue in like a little while. Honestly,
LANs are always the proving ground, right? Like, I remember StarCraft 2, You could win as many online events as you want, but until you proved it at a LAN, you were never legit. And we've seen, like, you know, we saw a few people actually, you know, fall to the sake of that. But Rachel, you seem to have, you seem to have an eyebrow raised there a little bit while Ben was doing that. So any, I guess, any comments to, I guess, what Ben just said there?
No, I mean, I feel pretty strongly just that, you know, again, what he said about the community and stuff like that, you know, it's really sad to go to the threads and see people attacking. I understand why it happens. I totally get it. But again, I have ultimate faith in Blizzard. So yeah, like you said, when you go to StarCraft, like, it didn't matter until you showed up at the tournament and came out and did it. I just want to make sure that there's some really subtle stuff out there now. And we've seen some crazy stuff. Like, we just have a lot to learn from the Counter-Strike scene. And we have, you know, we have the bar has been set. And I think we have everything we can in Overwatch to rise above it. So that's all I'll say.
Yeah. I'll second a lot of the stuff that Ben said. I mean, I think that, you know, these type of accusations are very damaging to people. And especially when you get the masses going, too. It's just like, what is he supposed to say? Like, you know what I mean? If he says, like, I'm not doing it, he just gets shit on anyways. You know, it's like, it's so hard to defend yourself in this situation. And the only way you can defend yourself is, you know, just to do whatever it takes. Like, you know, I think showing task manager is like one thing. I don't know. Somebody asked him to show task manager or something. And obviously performing at LANs, you know, that esports arena, if C9's invited, you know, we'll see, right? We'll see Sure4. And I mean, we'll see Temu too, you know, with them being invited, they'd probably be invited too. I'm just assuming, you know, once we see those guys perform live, then I think a lot of those questions will be answered. But in the meantime, you know, I would refrain from just going nuts on these people because it is very damaging to people's reputations. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, livelihoods potentially here too. And we're talking about the game too. It's just bad for the game too, especially if we're wrong, right? We have the community just like rioting about hacking and we're wrong. And then we just set this weird tone for the game too. And this is supposed to be good times for Overwatch, right? And it has been for the most part. So this is definitely one of those things that is just kind of like a little bit smeared to, but it's something that we have to deal with because it is a serious issue.
Oh yeah, I see people in chat saying stuff like, you know, oh, Blizzard hasn't made any statements about it. Like, yeah, they haven't really gone out and made a whole lot of statements about Spectator or anything else either. Right. Just, you know, the vague sense that they're handling it. And I mean, maybe I'll be a fool one day, but I really just put a lot of faith in Blizzard to make good games and good gaming experiences. And, you know, to have them come out and say, like, we're going to go after cheaters would just be a PR headline and would, you know, they're doing it anyway. I think they are.
Right. I mean, even if they said we're going after cheaters, that's not enough for the community anyways. Like, right. They want to know exactly what they're doing for exactly these, you know, these things that they're bringing up. And, you know, they're obviously not ready to do that. You know, again, like, I think when you try to penalize a cheater or catch a cheater, I mean, it takes a lot of due diligence. It takes a lot of time to even, you know, do that. And you know, having tools to do that or whatnot, that all happens all behind the scenes. And like Ben said, it's not our job. It's not our job to do that, right? It's Blizzard's job and you know, whatever organization that is tasked to do this. It's their job to do it. And then, you know, I guess we can react from it, that sort of thing.
I mean, it's a shitty situation.
Yeah,
you know, we have to kind of sit on our hands and put our faith in Blizzard. And I'm not saying don't be active about it. I mean, send the suspicious videos
right,
to
exactly.
Blizzard. You, I mean, if you're a top player right now, I'm pretty sure you know how to get in contact with any number of people about this type of thing. So yeah, be active. But like in the public realm, I don't know. Just the Reddit thread was really disappointing to me to see everyone just instantly assuming it. And it's not just Sure4 who has this too. It's Taimu as well, and like a bunch of other people in the background. And I don't know. Like I just really hope that people try to stay calm about it, use as much common sense as possible. And just a crazy flick shot that happens all the time in Counter-Strike and all these other games. Crazy flick shots happen. Things that might look unnatural to you are just how other people play. They hold the mouse different. Some people use their wrist. Some people use their arm. You know, some people have very different styles of aiming. So I just hope people don't jump to the conclusion as quickly as it seems like they have on Reddit and other places. We have to look to Blizzard. Ultimately.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just not our responsibility to deal with this. It's Blizzard's, so.
Right.
It's kind of got to let them handle it. There's nothing you can actually do other than witch hunt people, which isn't going to solve anything, so.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I hope that's enough for you guys, you know, because I know it's a big discussion. You know, hopefully you guys will you know, take away, you know, just, I guess, this discussion that we're having and try your best not to.
Yeah. Actually, hey. Sir Scoots is making some valid points in chat.
Okay, what's he saying?
It's not just up to Blizzard. It's up to the anti-cheat makers in general. And I mean, yep. Counter-Strike, mm-hmm. the best anti-cheats are not Valve's. So that is a very valid point.
Yep. Okay, guys. Well, this is Q&A time. So if you got any other questions that you guys want to ask us, definitely tweet that to... The Overview GG, or you can just tweet it straight to me at ChainManV. Maybe you guys just take a look at Twitch chat. I never look at Twitch chat. So you guys take a look at Twitch chat and see if there's any questions there too. And we'll try to get to as many as we can. We've got some time here. We blew through those segments, man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right. So Rudy Arnold's asking, I guess, for some clarifications, you know, with the hacking thing. Like, can you explain how these players are in question? Like, what about their videos is questionable? Kind of like what Ben was saying, like flick shots, just, you know, just very quick headshot aims and, I guess, you know, just your crosshairs following, you know, just like that Reinhardt, right? That was like a big one, the recent one. Just things that, you know, normal players, you don't see from normal players. I mean, that's, I don't know. Is there a better way to describe it, guys?
It's the snapping. It's when there's multiple targets on screen and you're either tracking one target and then like instantly snap to the other, or you just like snap and start firing like the frame that you're shooting at the target, you start firing. All of that is possible though. All of that is possible to do for normal human beings. Like, I don't know.
For Steph Curry.
What's not possible is what we saw from the Yang video. Like that was obviously hacking.
Was
literally no way to argue against it. It was so clear. It was night and day difference. This is not what we're seeing.
Okay. Let's see, another question.
I saw a question earlier. How do we know that there's going to be a bunch of lands? There's two lands the week after the game came out, dude. like, everyone, I know a lot of people in esports, everyone is interested in this game. Every commentator wants in. Every tournament organization wants in. This is just like... Sorry, you're going to have to take my
Ben knows from experience is what he's trying to say.
Yeah, no question. There are a lot of plans for events, so don't worry about that. So Jordan Goodfield asks, what will you guys, in caps, what will you guys be doing until it comes out? I feel so lost right now. Yeah, that's a good question.
Crying
a corner. Hoping.
I saw some people talking about going back to Team Fortress 2. Like, have you guys tried? I don't know if I can.
I never played TF2 actually. So
I played for 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
I'm just like, it's just some male mercy. It's not the same.
Male mercy. That's sexist.
Yeah. Thing. How many? 10 years. No female skins. Come on. I'm sticking to Overwatch now.
Can I get a gender bender, please?
Okay.
I don't know. My plan is to play Civ 5 and like eat ice cream out of the bucket in my pajama pants. If you guys want to join me, I call Russia. Otherwise, it's up to you.
Nice.
Russia's my. I love those crip hosts, man. Damn.
No way, Kat. That's mine.
I was thinking about maybe trying out Uncharted 4 during the time. Obviously, playing Hearthstone. Everybody knows me. I played crap a load of Hearthstone. But yeah, maybe Uncharted until then. How about you, Fit? How about you, Fishsticks?
I'm only going to be playing... I might play some Street Fighter V because I bought the game. Yes. I haven't played it even once yet, which feels bad. Just been too much Overwatch. But any Tribes fans in the audience right now, holler to the Tribes boys, Tribes
Old
for
school.
Life, because the new Tribes spiritual successor, it just went up on Kickstarter. It's called Midair. I'm going to be playing the shit out of this game. I just kickstarted it. It basically just feels like the old Tribes games. It really, 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 really does.
Awesome.
I had the chance to play this both at PAX Prime this year and last year, and it's come a really long way. It actually feels really good. that is also something I haven't had a chance to catch up on yet since it all happened while we were at DreamHack. But they're having like high level pickup games and scrims and casting them. So I'm jumping in on that shit 100%.
Okay. That's
I'm probably just going to play Battle Board and Dirty Bomb for like 2 weeks straight.
Yeah, that's probably the closest thing, right, to Overwatch out there right now, I'd say. All right, so Tokyo Ska TV asks, what do you expect Blizzard to do for launch of Overwatch? Not all at once.
Wait, what?
Guys. What
I mean,
do we expect
for
them to do?
Big question.
I mean, do we expect 24-hour streams? Do we expect...
Oh, well, there is something. There is something that they're doing on the day of the launch.
Yeah.
They're doing the influencer show match with Jericho and Gold Glove.
Yeah.
It's going to be on the... It's actually going to be... I don't know if this has been announced yet.
NDA.
I don't think there's a problem
no,
just
no,
saying
it's
it.
Definitely NDA. Been announced because they were running the
Kiki's
commercial.
Be
no, this has been announced, but I don't know if what's been announced is the fact that it's going to be on the official Overwatch Twitch channel. First time they're going to use it.
Oh, okay.
That was super secret.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe it was. I'm not sure.
Oh.
Exclusive. Oh god, please.
Yeah, so,
I'm gonna get so many PMs in like a minute here. Oh god, what have I done?
Oh no, there's an official Overwatch Twitch channel.
I know. Hey man,
what are we gonna do?
That can cost a lot of marketing money right there, Shade. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we know about that show match, but I'm expecting, I don't know, all those that theater thing's happening too, right? So I think that's where a lot of people will be at the same time. I'm not sure if it's going to be happening at the same time because the showings will probably all, everybody will be in the theater at once, right? Watching it those 2 hours, I would assume. But outside of that, yeah, I don't know of anything. It'd just be a lot of streaming. I mean, streamers just want to stream Overwatch on launch day. So yeah. A lot of folks just don't even want to go to, you know, things like launch parties and stuff like that. They usually do anyways, but you know, you can capitalize on streaming and stuff like that. So, that's probably what we'll see. Okay, I don't have any more. You guys see any more in Twitch chat? Let me look at Twitch chat. Maybe I can help find a few more. Maybe we'll take about two more and then call it a day.
Yeah, does anyone know what Jeff Kaplan meant when he said, have fun storming the castle today? Because I have no idea what that means.
No.
Someone posted on the forums because the beta didn't go down for like 2 extra hours. And someone posted on the forums and Jeff Kaplan responded and he was like, have fun storming the castle. And I'm just like,
do they
I don't know what that means.
New map? Did we all missed in the last 2 hours? No, that's bad.
Oh my gosh, that would be kind of cool. A castle, like a fantasy-themed map. Interesting.
Maybe I was just going to go play Clash Royale until it came back.
Yeah. That's all you, Ben. That's all you, Ben. Clash Royale.
I'm going to be playing and streaming midair, man. It's going to be tight.
That's cool. Car Snow asks, how do you think the solo experience for someone who doesn't have any friends playing the game, will he be able to climb the ladder easily if he's good? That's a good question, actually. So is Overwatch like, or at least what you think a competitive rank Overwatch will be, can a solo person actually climb, or will you have to have
teammates?
Yeah. How are your interpersonal communication skills?
Yeah,
skill as an FPS player. I think one of the things that is kind of interesting is that in all this time with the beta, we've been defining a lot of the meta, like how to play the different maps, all these types of things. I think people who are joining the game now, who've been watching tournaments, watching streams, I think that they're gonna catch on really, really fast. Like the game itself has a very high skill ceiling, but it's actually much easier to play than a lot of other FPS games, at least like at semi-competent levels. So I think a lot of people are gonna see success. Another thing we've talked about a little bit on the show in the past is, like, you know, that's the constant joke, right? That once Reddit comes, oh boy, once the Reddit players get here, all these competitive teams are screwed. But no, I actually totally think that most top teams are gonna find one or two players from this huge new pool that comes right off the bat, and there's going to be a lot of roster changes with the fresh blood. I really think that's going to be the case as well.
And we brought this up, and somebody's actually asking about just any tips for a competitive player trying to get into the scene. I mean, we talked about this maybe an episode or two ago, And I don't know if anything has happened since then in terms of just a place for people to get together, right? Just to team up and play and practice outside of literally playing. And there's a guy and you just try to befriend him and talk to him. I mean, are there any other Discords that we know about that are Overwatch? Obviously, we know the OW, of course, but that doesn't seem to be open to everybody. Any other Discords?
That is dropped, Chris.
right.
I mean, I don't really know if Discord's the place for that at the end of the day. Because, like, I mean, I guess it depends on how many people you want in that Discord. Doesn't Discord have, like, a 1,500 limit or something? So...
Yeah, I guess there is some kind of limit. I didn't know it was 1,500, but...
Is there an IRC channel?
IRC channel or... Yeah, IRC channel would be great, or...
Discord is the new IRC.
If it has limits,
the new IRC and the new Skype and everything. So yeah, I don't know. Like, it'd be great if there was. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. And it sounds like nobody still proactively put something together. So anybody watching the show, you know, start a forum, start something. Start something where, you know, we can kind of bring together any folks that are competitive players that
right.
aren't in the pro scene right now. What?
I got a tweet before the podcast today mm-hmm. asking us to give a shout out to reddit.com/r/competitive Overwatch. And I was actually, when the beta first came out in the first moments, I'm like, all right, we got to support this subreddit, see if we can grow it. And then over time, the main subreddit actually became more and more receptive to competitive gaming stuff and esports stuff. So I'm like, yeah, I don't think we actually need it. But now we're getting to this point where 9 out of 10 posts, maybe 99 out of 100 posts that are seeing success on the subreddit are GIFs and short clips of like hype moments and like things like that, or like PSAs about the game. So now that we have potentially millions, I don't know, 6 to 10 million people are going to buy this game, guys. I'm calling it right now. It's going to be in that range, or maybe more. Who fuck? I don't know. Like, it's going to be harder for competitive gaming stuff to rise to the top. So yes. You know what? Everybody, if you're watching the show, you're probably interested in competitive Overwatch. Please just go over there, hit subscribe on that one. I'll try to post information there as much as I can. We may end up needing it actually in the long run, but I think it'll be valuable either way to just fill it up.
Tell you what, guys, this weekend I'll give it a thought. Actually, one of my mods is like, "Why don't you do it, Shannon?" Like, I'll give it like some thought this weekend, and then I'll see what I come up with, and because I do, I'd like to have, you know, some kind of place that folks can just find each other easily. I mean, people that are very social, like they'll literally just reach out to people in the game that they play with and try to befriend them and things like that. But most people aren't like that at all, so it's easier for them just to go someplace that they know that this is what's going to happen. And yes, Kim is the person that's my mod that's asking that. So, I'll give it a thought. I'll probably come up with something, and then I'll let you guys know soon, whether it's next show or I'll just tweet something out. Okay. Anything else? There's a one limit hero. We've talked about one limits a lot, guys. So you can watch some of the past episodes if you want. But why don't we wrap up? Great having you on the show, Rachel. I know we talked weeks now about trying to have you on, and Rach has been patiently waiting, I guess, so I really appreciate you coming on. It's always a lot of fun, and you're a good friend, of course.
Dude, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and it's cool to see all the people that are getting interested in Overwatch and the people that are putting a lot of work into, because it's some of my favorite people,
right.
And it's a lot of good people and good love going into this game. So I hope it stays positive. I hope this community, mm-hmm. Stays happy and stays excited. And I hope, Blizzard does everything in their power to keep everybody happy. So, let's all go have a great time. It's going to be awesome.
Definitely. And check out Rach's stream. She streams Overwatch a lot. Well, obviously not the next couple of weeks, but she's been streaming a lot of Overwatch, and I know you're trying to grow it too. So check her out. What's your stream again?
Thanks, dude. It's twitch.tv/seltzer. It's pretty small, but I like to play with viewers a lot, and especially if you guys are getting Overwatch, we can totally play sometime, so come by.
Yeah, awesome. Shade. Any
typical stuff.
Yeah.
Stream. My viewers are in chat. Hi, guys. and just typical LG stuff. Yay, okay. LG.
Awesome. There's probably a lot of people that are watching that. I don't know. There might be some people watching that don't know your stream. What is your, it's twitch.tv
shade underscore.
Let me just put it in here too. It's a lot harder to see the shade underscore sometimes. You can change that, right? Do you like the underscore?
I don't, but someone has shade.
Oh, right.
So, right. I think it's like a Justin TV channel or something, but
is it?
Oh, well.
The squatters, those damn Twitch squatters trying to make a buck. No. Okay, yeah, so definitely check her stream out. She's always playing support and there's
hey,
not
I played
enough
May a bunch today.
You played May. Is that because all your subs asked you to play May?
Maybe.
Maybe
I get asked to play May a lot.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Nice. Can't wait for that cosplay eventually. It's coming. It's coming, guys. If not, well, I'll get her the costume to do it just for us at BlizzCon. That'd be awesome. That'd just be amazing. All right, Fish Sticks, shout outs.
Make sure to tune in. There's a bunch of stuff going to be coming through the pipe. I'm sure Ghost of Gamers has plans. Some of the folks that I've been talking to in the first phase of the beta have a bunch of plans for online stuff.
Okay.
The second or the first week after the game comes out, we're going to have two LANs. So it's going to be both the esports arena, Agents Rising LAN, taking place in Southern California for $10,000. And then Take TV, who, if you've been watching esports for a while, you probably know who they are from their StarCraft tournaments, mm-hmm. their Hearthstone tournaments. They've even done Counter-Strike. It's basically this awesome house in Germany where they host all the gamers in like a fun studio environment and host it that way. I don't know if they've announced their casters yet, but it's going to be a really, really fun group of folks out there doing that in Germany as well. So tons of Overwatch to watch the week after it comes back. There's going to be some sick online stuff. There's going to be some sick LAN stuff. It's going to be really fun. I hope that we can interplay between the two events because they're going on the same weekend. Other than that, if you're interested in competitive Overwatch, you can always follow me. I will be very involved moving forward. So, yeah.
Awesome. And I will just, round things out. Just thanks to three of you guys, Fish Sticks, Rachel, and Shade for doing the show today. It's a lot of fun. And for next week, we'll have to decide whether, we want to do the show or not. Not sure how much there is to talk about, but if there is enough to talk about next week, we'll be back at the normal time. But once it comes out, we'll just be running just every week like we have been. For those that are interested in the audio version of the podcast, because there's actually people that listen to this show and not just like watch it here on Twitch or on YouTube, be sure to leave a 5-star review if you like, only if you like the show. Leave a 5-star review and leave a comment there. It really helps a lot, in terms of helping people discover, just the overview as an Overwatch podcast. So it's available on iTunes. It's available on Google Music Podcast, the podcasting portal too, on Android phones and various other places like general podcast aggregators. Like you can find the overview too. So do that if you get a chance. We'd really appreciate it. It again helps the show. And VODs will be on youtube.com/ChamianV shortly after the show, usually about 15, 20 minutes. So you can check that out. You can check all the past episodes too. We had a lot of other great guests. But until then, that's going to be it for the overview. So for Rachel, Shade, and Fish Sticks and myself, ChamianV, we will see you hopefully in 2 weeks latest. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.